Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5, 10:02. AJ's here. What's going on, AJ?
How's it going, Johnny?
Man, it's going well. We got a couple of stories here. Different, very different tones to the stories right now, AJ. I don't know if you've been listening. But first of all, do you have a brother?
I do.
Do you have a brother? Do you and he ever go to an Airbnb and hook up with some hoes in the same bed together and just, like, you know, fool around stuff, do stuff?
I got to be honest. When I'm reading that story, when I first read it, it was he and his brother and some chicks were at the house, and I was like, okay, I can see that. But then when it was, like, in the same bed, that's where the story goes from unsurprising to really just kind of the way I look at Earl Thomas is a lot different right now.
Now, see, I've called it as Najee. I call it the Najee Davenport moment, where you go from being known for one thing to one specific thing that will never change for you. Right?
And you would think, remember Earl Thomas is a guy who flipped off his coach as he walked off the field, as he limped off the field. You'd think that would have been his moment.
No. This surpasses all previous moments by Earl Thomas. You know, any hits, any interceptions, any Super Bowl wins. No. This now is Earl Thomas and his Najee Davenport moment.
Damn.
Yeah. but it's not like, I mean, listen, I don't think it's good for the family look. And he said, listen, this stuff happens, okay? So don't let's not talk about it. Just pray for me. And we've said a little prayer. We said a little prayer for all of the people with COVID-19, and we've said a prayer for all the people who lost their job and all the and Earl Thomas for he and his brother's orgy. We said a little prayer. So that's a good that's a positive. So we've definitely done that. But there are a lot worse. Like I think of, like if I said Josh Hader to you, what do you think of?
Josh Hader?
Yeah, you remember him? The Milwaukee the Brewers
pitcher,
reliever?
The long-haired pitcher?
Yeah. Oh, you don't see right away. I think N-bombs on Twitter.
Oh, because, yeah.
Yeah, he was dropping some N-bombs on Twitter.
I forgot that. What about like Eddie Griffin? You remember him?
Yeah, Eddie Griffin. Well,
he was a porn enthusiast.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was watching porno in his truck. That's like, right. I mean, that's the things that you, I mean, there's certain guys, it's like, oh, well, that's just what you are now.
I think he got too busy to steer while he was doing that.
Like O.J. Simpson, great career, Heisman Trophy winner, but what do you think of?
Exactly.
You think of the Hertz commercial. Exactly.
Jumping over a car. That's
right. Everybody has their moment.
In the airport. I think of him running through the airport with a knife. But see, yeah, everybody has. I mean, there's a bunch of guys that are the first thing immediately you think of. Like J.R. Richard. Now, see, this one is a personal one because I heard a J.R. Richard story that I don't think anybody else did. He was going to do an interview with this young lady in the media here in Houston. It was long. It was just a couple of years ago, 5 years ago, whatever. And long after his career and everything else. And he had his issues, obviously. But he was wearing a pair of shorts where his manhood was hanging out under while he was sitting there.
Jeez. I mean, how long were these shorts?
Not very. Or he was just, you know, the way he was sitting and the shorts rode up or whatever. But he was, and she sat down to do the interview with him. Now, every time I think of J.R. Richard, I think of, you know, him just hanging out. You know what I'm saying? So every, you know, that's the impression that you get, immediate impression. And that's the forever lasting Earl Thomas impression that I'm going to have, him and his brother. And it was uncertain how many females were involved, right?
Yeah, I guess that I just assumed it was two.
I don't think you should assume something. I
think you're probably right.
I read four other women.
Oh, man. See? First of all, it better be a big bed. Okay?
Yeah.
And secondly, what about the Airbnb owner?
Especially during times when you're trying to sanitize everything.
Very unsanitary.
Oh, very. You know, and here's the other thing that's not really been brought up. Like, if you're a wealthy man and you decide to carry on an affair, you're going to have relations with someone else, and you realize that it could cost you if it doesn't go your way. If Nina finds out, it could cost you. It seems like you would be very particular about who you choose to be your partner in crime on this. It's like you've got one chick who maybe she's married too with kids, and so she's got some stuff to risk. She's not trying to blow up her spot either. Four random Instagram hoes? That seems like a lot of exposure. A lot of exposure that, you know, you just, like, what are you going to do? Give them all hush money? That doesn't seem wise to me.
Yeah, no. And, you know, posting it on Instagram is another thing, I think.
Or Snapchat.
Snapchat.
Yeah. How's that even? I mean, yeah.
If you're robbing a bank, I think it's unwise to, you know, Facebook Live it. I just think that
you don't Periscope when you're in the middle of crime.
Yeah. And Snapchatting it, I know Snapchat goes away, right, after like 4 seconds or something, whatever.
I don't know much about Snapchat, but that's what I understand.
Yeah, I think it goes away unless somebody, you know, screens it, you know. And I guess you can tell us anyone. But I would imagine a bunch of people would have if they saw that on Snap. Hey, look at this. Look at Earl Thomas and his brother with four women in a bed. This seems like something I should screen grab, whatever it's called. Anyway, so to me, that was a poor, poor decision of all the decisions that he's made here along the way, the poorest to me was the Snapchat.
Yeah, that's a pretty bad one.
Up there is being in bed with his brother with four women. It's right up there. But poorest decision.
Okay, John, let's discuss this for a second. You have a brother, right?
I do.
Okay.
Right.
Let's say you were going to be involved in an orgy and there was going to be another dude there.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather it be your brother or a stranger?
Stranger. B. I would rather be anyone. B.
Or your dad.
No. B. B. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it's I feel like that's, you know, there's the thought process of you know, he's a guy you can trust. Yeah, I trust very few people more than I trust my brother. I get that. But there's also things that you just don't want to share with family, and I think that's it.
Yeah, maybe that's part of it though. You know your brother will never. Now, maybe the women will at some point blackmail you, but you know your brother never will.
Right.
Your brother's always got your back, right? And, you know, unless you're Laramie Tunsil's father-in-law that was unfortunate. Now, there's another one, Laramie Tunsil. First thing you think of, not false starts.
No,
not
it's
well,
the gas
now
mask.
It's $22 million a year. It's gas mask.
Or now it's bending Bill O'Brien over. And
well, yeah, but listen. And listen, outsmarting Bill O'Brien.
A lot of people have done it.
Now that bar is lowered. Okay, that's not like, oh, what'd you do in your life? I outsmarted Bill O'Brien. Well, okay, that's not that. Okay, whatever. And next thing you did, because that's not getting you anywhere. I just feel like the whole thing was poorly executed by Earl. But this self, we talk about it a lot, self-snitching is just amazing to me that you have to share your orgy on Snapchat.
Now, did she find it because he was sharing the video or because his location was on?
No. Well, so what I read was she logged in to his Snapchat on her phone, found his location, and then went and found him.
Okay, so he wasn't broadcasting this orgy.
I mean,
he had his location on,
so she just logged in. But why would, like, she shouldn't have his login to Snapchat.
Well, she said it originally, I saw it on Snapchat. Maybe she just logged in and she was able to find him on Snapchat. Right.
Yeah,
maybe
you can find all your friends on Snapchat. Like, you can find their location, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
You can see where people are at.
See, there's... Also, well, now there's
I got to be honest, guys, yeah. And maybe you're all in a different boat than I am, but, John, doesn't it seem like right now would be the most difficult time to carry on with four other women? Because my wife and I are in the same house, like, 23.88 hours a day. I don't know what your excuse is when basically nobody's doing anything. Everybody's locked down. Who's got time to be like, okay, well, honey, I'm going to. You can't be like, I'm going to the gym, because no, you're not.
No gym.
Yeah,
well,
I'm
now,
not going. I'm not going to watch a movie. No, you're not.
No.
Like, what are you doing?
I'm going to work out. But then you come home smelling like a hoe, and that
no, like four hoes and your brother.
Right.
Which,
you
by
smell
the way,
like your brother.
Yeah, now you're throwing, like, not only do you, like, chicks can smell other chicks for sure.
Yeah.
But we all know dudes are smelly. So now you got additional BO on you.
Well, and that might be the, you know, that might have been the straw.
And you can say, well, they didn't touch each other. Okay, you show me a bed where two grown men, I mean, they're professional athlete-sized man is one of them, and four chicks are fitting on the same bed, and there's no accidental touching between the brothers. It's almost impossible.
Even the visual is enough for me. I'm out. B. I don't want my brother there. That's just some stuff about my brother. I just don't want to know. I just don't. That's all. No.
Do you just have the one brother?
That's all I got. Yeah.
Tyler, you have brothers?
No, I do not.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Here, how about this one, John? Would you rather be involved in that with your brother or JT?
A.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah. A. All right. Breaking here. We'll get to the LeBron thing on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, John and AJ, we got a couple of stories brewing here. One is about LeBron, and I don't know, I saw the video now. Ahmaud Arbery was a young African-American running in Georgia, and he was shot down. And there's video of father and his son and the shooting, and it is pretty chilling. And no one has been charged, and Ahmaud Arbery, there was a tweet out about him, and LeBron chimed in, and LeBron said that, you know, we are hunted every day, and every time, every day, we step out of the house. And Jason Whitlock responded and said, you know, making it about you at this, you know, at this time, you're trying to, you know, outdo Michael Jordan or be the, you know, unlike Michael Jordan and whatever. And it created quite the story, quite the story.
I think, you know, Jason Whitlock is?
Yeah, I know. Yes.
He's Steven from Django Unchained.
Some feel that way. Yes, and he might tell you, I just speak what I feel as opposed to that. But, you know, there are some issues that he takes that I would say, you know, he doesn't always take one side of a story. He certainly doesn't. He would say obviously different. I don't know. He made a lot of money taking, I don't want to say taking the white side of the story, but he certainly does in a lot of instances.
Do you remember the time when Jason Whitlock said that LeBron James was too rich to know what real racism was?
Well, and we had a caller earlier who said, yeah, LeBron has lived a charmed life and whatever, or, you know, he doesn't know what real issues are because he's always lived a sheltered life, which is untrue. I mean, by the time he got to be famous, he was, what, 17? When he got to be famous, he was 17
right.
years old. Obviously, he had lived a different life before that. But the fact of the matter remains, here's the deal, though, is whether or not you agree with Jason Whitlock, whatever LeBron James says right now, there is going to be a wary eye because you might think he is trying to respond to Michael Jordan taking over his era. And he is trying to gain some of the traction that he had back because Michael Jordan has been stealing a lot of his limelight of late.
Well, I mean, so is he just not allowed to tweet anything until the last dance ends?
Well,
what are we doing here?
No, but his ulterior motives will be questioned.
Could it also be that, I mean, you could say that Michael Jordan's trying to steal, you know, the limelight from today's NBA stars?
Yes. No, you could absolutely. But don't you believe, because I know I'm watching it with a 22-year-old who says, wow, I didn't know this about Michael Jordan. Wow.
Yeah.
You know? And the wow factor of Michael Jordan right now for all this entire era that has grown up with LeBron and really didn't know Michael Jordan, now they're going, wow, Mike was something. And maybe he's changing opinions about you know, what you think of LeBron and what you think of Mike.
I think my response to anybody who thinks that LeBron is just trying to do this to get some shine would be that this is not out of character for him. You know, if there's some sort of injustice like that, he's tweeted about that stuff before. This isn't the first time that he's done it. If that were the case, then maybe I guess you could make the argument for it. I can't see that right now.
No, but Whitlock's point too was not only that, but that it's irresponsible. And you know, and we've got another Mr. Positivity says, "Hey, I feel like LeBron does. I feel like it's, you know, this is that I am hunted." And you know, I certainly am not going to tell people how they feel. Jason Whitlock feels like that LeBron is being irresponsible for saying that black men are hunted in this country every time, every day they step out of the house when that's simply not true. And it's more fear-mongering than anything else.
Yeah, and I think maybe when he said we,
yeah,
you know, I don't think there's anybody, you know, driving pickup trucks through LeBron's neighborhood is maybe what Jason Whitlock's trying to get at.
Yeah, right. And yeah, I mean, and while this happens way too often, it's not an everyday occurrence, and it's not, you know, I don't know. Again, I don't know how a black man in America should feel today. And I'm not going to pretend to know. So, Mr.
Well, I do, but I'm not going to talk about it here.
Right. Of course you do.
Right.
But you're part of the community, though.
Yes, as part of the community, I know, but I don't want to let you guys know because you're not part of the community, especially
Tyler.
Well,
I kind of am, but That's. But I'm also part of the Chinese community.
That's true.
I'm also part of the Jewish community. I've got a lot of communities. The LSU community, the A&M community. I've got a lot of communities.
That's
just
true.
So you know. And I do my buddy Alonzo, so I'm part of the black community too. Just so
all right.
Know. Right.
Your brother or Alonzo?
No.
Which one would you rather?
Alonzo. Although
it may shame you.
It would be shaming. But I'll take that instead of my brother. Okay? I'll take that. Johnny wants to talk about the LeBron situation. What do you say, Johnny?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to kind of, I guess, respond to the caller earlier. I guess Sebastian, I think his name was. When he said, like, LeBron came up this way, that way, which is obviously, as we know, is wrong. I think that's, like you guys said, that's part of the danger of, you know, putting information out there that's not true. Also, whether or not you grew up a certain way shouldn't matter when it comes to, like, basic human rights or someone being gunned down in the street, you know. I think as, like, I'm a black guy, so I definitely understand what LeBron says when he says we. It's more of a collective, I think he means, but it's just like how us as African Americans, we want, let's say, white people to understand how we feel, whether or not LeBron is hunted down every day, you know, or ever for that matter, doesn't take away from the message I think he's trying to put, which is this is wrong, and whether or not you're personally affected by it, you should care too. I think that's kind of getting lost in the whole, you know, message of what he's saying.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, I don't know anyone other than Jason Whitlock who disagrees with. I mean, if you can't watch that video and pretend that there's two sides to that story, can you? I mean, it's impossible. So the only way you can justify, you know, speaking out against what LeBron says is if you think that those dudes were in the right. And that somehow that's not what was happening in that video. And I don't think anybody wants to say that, apparently, other than Jason Whitlock.
Yeah, that video is chilling. There's no question about that. No question about that. And I don't. And again, I don't presume. And Mr. Positivity was, you know, he says, so you don't understand. And I don't. I don't understand. And I, you know, long ago I learned, my wife and I, put some sense into my, because I used to, well, how could you feel that way? Don't stop feeling that way. What that's stupid, you know. And she's, don't tell me how I feel, okay? And there's, you know, whether it's irrational, rational, or whatever it is, that is how I feel. So then you know, you have to accept, for whatever reason, Mr. Positivity, LeBron, or the caller Johnny, they feel like they are threatened in America. And nothing that we say is going to change that. So, you know, they have to deal with that, and they have to overcome that in their lives. So, I'm certainly not going to tell LeBron how he feels about this.
No.
But I do understand some of Jason Whitlock, you know, and the fear thing that LeBron is. Is he trying to evoke fear in everyone? I don't know.
But, I mean, maybe he's saying that there is fear, and that's it just is what it is. And, I mean, yeah. I think going back to, like, the Trayvon Martin thing, there was fear then. I don't know if you can call it fear-mongering, but if there's a justifiable fear, is that still fear-mongering?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, but again, and by saying we, though, LeBron is collectively talking about, and Jason Whitlock says, don't tell me how I feel. You know, as a black man in America,
that's
I don't
true.
Feel like I'm hunted every day. And you are creating an atmosphere where you're telling everyone else how I feel about this. And so I guess, you know, I guess I see both points. I see both sides of it.
I'll also say that, I mean, Jason Whitlock has painted himself as a guy who he looks for controversy. He wants to say things that will get people charged up, and he so this is not if I were to take one guy for at their word, do they really like some like you know it's Skip Bayless? Sometimes you think Skip Bayless says things just to get people charged up.
Yeah. Right.
It feels like if one of these guys was just saying something to get people charged up, it's more likely Jason Whitlock than LeBron James.
Yeah, well, I guess. Or people will say, well, wait a minute. Again, LeBron won't get in the middle of Hong Kong because that got in his back. So is LeBron just going to say it when it doesn't hurt? As long as it doesn't hurt LeBron's economics, then LeBron's going to speak out on it. But as soon as it hits home and hits his pocketbook, he ain't speaking up. He ain't going to speak about it. So, I mean, there you could look at LeBron that way, too. 1029 ESPN, 97.5.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. NFL schedule tonight. You excited?
No.
What do you mean no?
Because I already know what's going to happen. They're going to tell us the schedule, and then a month from now or 6 weeks from now, that's not going to be the schedule anymore.
Well, I disagree. I think they will. Well, they might push. I don't know.
They're not going to play a full 16 this year, I don't think.
So, apparently, do you think it's the Texans and the Chiefs in the first game of the year on the Thursday night?
That's kind of what I've heard. And
wouldn't it be the Steelers with Ben back?
That seems like the better move. Especially now, I mean, let's face it, the Texans lost one of their bigger stars. It feels like the Pittsburgh Chiefs, that would make more sense.
Wait a minute. No, wait. I think I'm off on that.
Or Baltimore.
The Ravens, they play at the Ravens.
Oh, okay. But haven't they in recent years gone away from giving, or was that just last year? Was the one year
they don't play the Chiefs at home? They don't play the Steelers at home. I'm sorry.
But what I'm saying is it haven't they gone away from it the last couple? Was it just last year that they went away from the Super Bowl champion hosting the first game?
Just last year.
Okay, so that's not going to be a permanent thing.
No, just last year was the first year. Last year was Bears Packers, right?
Yeah,
yeah. But that was the first year. Every other year, the champ opened up at home. So. Maybe they won't, but I don't see why you wouldn't put Pat Mahomes on your first game, right?
Is it possible? Are the Patriots at the Chiefs?
Wait a minute. The Steelers are there. The Steelers are there. So I think Ben Roethlisberger's return would be a much bigger deal than having the Texans. Okay, I'm confused on this deal. So anyway. So I don't know. Bears. Here's the thought. Buccaneers and Bears. That could be a headliner for week one.
I would think so. But I mean, again, we're going back to the Chiefs will play that first game, and then they could play Bucks Bears week one, but not as the opening game.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We'll see. I don't.
One thing the Bucks are going to be on primetime a lot this year.
A bunch. You're going to be seeing a bunch of the Bucks, and you know what? You shouldn't be seeing a bunch of the Patriots.
I think you'll still see some.
I don't. I just think that they're going to realize this is not going to be a good look. This team is not very good.
No, I don't think they are either. But you know what? I don't know that the Bucks are as good as everyone thinks they are.
I do. I think so.
I'm not sold that Tom is. A massive upgrade over Jameis right now.
He didn't have anybody. These weapons. Now, he missed some passes last year. Don't get me wrong. He
also can't get the ball down the field. He's got a bunch of downfield weapons and doesn't look like his arm can get the ball down the field anymore.
Yeah. Here's the Chiefs home games. Broncos, Raiders, Chargers, obviously. Patriots, Jets, Falcons, Panthers, and Texans. Panthers, the Falcons might be the only other one, the Falcons.
For the
that
Chiefs?
That might be the only other team that they would face in week one. Would you – maybe the Broncos?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. And maybe the Raiders because of that long Chiefs-Raiders rivalry?
Raiders you could maybe sell – and the Raiders, but I don't know. I mean, I think people are going to be excited about the Raiders because they're in a new home this year. But it seems, I mean, I would think that they'd want some kind of star power. And I think Derek Carr is pretty good. I think Ben Roethlisberger, Matt Ryan, those names pop a little harder than Derek Carr does.
How about that the Chiefs open up, but they open up on the road against the Ravens in week one?
I would love that. I think
that
that's what it should be.
That's what that's the best game of the year.
That's the two best teams in the league, in my opinion.
Yeah. And start it that way instead of, well, being the Chiefs get to be home because they're the champs. They have to go on the road to the Ravens. Sorry about that.
But the
alternative is watching the Texans in week one, which, I've never seen any team have more negative. I mean, I watch a lot of ESPN because it's on all morning here. Every single time they talk about the Texans, it's about Bill O'Brien and boneheaded moves.
But do we really think that whoever they put on television that people aren't going to watch?
No.
People are going to watch. I mean, there's going to be a massive amount of people tuned in.
No, but if it's Lamar versus Pat Mahomes, holy crap.
Yeah.
I mean, through the roof. And they're
that's
looking to start
TV
with a real bang, I think.
Yep.
Right? Do the Texans Chiefs give you that after 51-7 the last time they played?
Well, maybe are you forgetting about the start of that game?
Yes, I am.
Well, maybe
yes,
you shouldn't.
Because 16 minutes into that,
the Texans
game
can play with them.
No, they can't.
No. Yes, you saw it.
No, this is not what we want. Now, Deshaun is a big star, but honestly, the whole conversation is about Bill O'Brien bungling this entire offseason.
I'll say this. I mean, if you're a Texans fan, that's the last thing you want week one. You know
right.
The Chiefs are going to beat the snot out of you when you play them whenever. But you don't want it to be week one. I mean, you talk about letting the air out of the balloon right from the go. That's what would happen. The Texans don't want to be that game, I don't think.
Well, let's not forget they were at the Saints last year, and they gave them a hell of a game.
They did.
On that Monday night. A hell of a game. And almost won it. And I'm of the opinion, you know, I don't know what your opinion is, but I think they can be a pretty good offense.
I'm not sure. I mean, I think that it's hard for me to say, oh, they lost their best weapon. They're going to somehow be better. I mean, what? That was DeAndre Hopkins is the best player on that team, I would say.
But you replaced them with a bunch of speed. Cobb, Cooks, you got Fuller coming back, and he's going to be healthy all year. And you got the David Duke backfield, and you got, you know, tight ends that are weapons. Let's see if Collie Waring actually is able to play, or you can take the Rattler away from him and you can put him on the field. Let's see. But this is – I think it's got a potential to be maybe Bill O'Brien's best offense.
I'm looking at that Saints opener last year. DeAndre Hopkins, 8 receptions, 111 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Well, but now let's look at it this way. Deshaun doesn't have his whoopee anymore. He's got to throw to other guys.
Yeah, the problem is those other guys aren't as good.
No, but you know what? Sometimes, you know, when the Mariners got rid of A-Rod, they turned into a 116-win team.
When the Patriots got rid of Gronkowski,
Oh, well, they got rid of Richard Seymour and Ty Law and Lawyer Malloy and all kinds of guys, though. They get rid of guys, and they still win.
Yeah, I'm not – so you think the Texans will be a better offense this year than they were last year?
I think they got a chance to, yeah. Let's not forget. Yeah, they never – wait a minute. What was last year's offense? What was it? Exactly.
I don't know where it ranks statistically, but it wasn't –
It was a middle-of-the-pack offense.
Yeah.
What was so great about it?
I'm not saying it was great. I'm saying no. I think it's going to be worse.
No, I really think that they have more weapons this year. They don't have their best weapon, but they have more weapons.
I think they are weaker at running back than they were a year ago, and I think they're weaker at receiver than they were a year ago. I think they are the offensive line is suddenly looks like a strength on that offense. Which I mean, imagine 2 years ago saying that. I do think that offensive line is coming together, and you like to hope that you know Deshaun's going to continue to get better. But I think there may be some real growing pains with like what you said, not having his kind of security blanket. It may cause some problems for that dude early on, especially.
Well, or he'll have to look around the field and make, you know, not just I'm just going to DeAndre. And we'll see.
But the great thing about DeAndre was when he wasn't open, he still had a chance to make the catch.
Right.
These other guys, so you throw it up to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, Randall Cobb's like 4'9". You throw it up to him, guess what's going to happen? It's going the other way.
Yeah. No, that's true. That is definitely true. He wins 50-50 balls. There is no question. But, you know, and the decision that David Johnson at $13 million is a better idea than Carlos Hyde at $5 million that to me is the essence of this offseason. Like, what the bleep are you thinking?
I don't think a team can go through the offseason the Texans just did and somehow come out better. I just don't see it.
Well, listen, they were no great shakes, and I think that they're faster. And if you know, with Carter and Stills and well, somebody's got to go. Kiki's got to go. You know, I think that they're loading up with a lot of guys that like to practice, which is important, which is the most important thing in the world if you like to practice. And secondly, they got speed. They're faster than they were.
Yeah. They do. Right. They do have more number 2 and 3 receivers than anybody in the league.
Correct. 1043 ESPN 97.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. This is the part of the show where we do news of the weird, AJ.
Oh, okay. I wasn't aware of that. Yeah, I didn't prepare myself.
News of the weird.
Okay.
So what we do here is we talk about weird stuff going on. Keisha, you know who Keisha is?
Kesha?
She's Kesha. Oh, yeah. Not Keisha, not the one with the money symbol, right? This is Kesha.
Okay.
She says she gets her boyfriend to apply a butt mask for her every night, which she says brings her happiness. Do you get a butt or do you apply a butt mask every night?
My wife has never once asked me to apply a butt mask. Do you? So, does Wendy get butt masks?
No butt masks. Butt masks, no. But I have not. This is the first I've ever heard of it. I don't even know what a butt mask is. I guess it's like a facial mask where you put the lotion on its skin or it gets the hose again or something. I don't know.
It gets the hose? The butt gets the hose?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
Ooh. Girl.
Yeah, Cash. apparently, I did not know this, but there are medicinal benefits in camel urine. And Iraqis are buying said camel urine from Iran. saying it has medicinal value. Do you think you would like to drink camel urine?
Is it a vaccine to coronavirus?
Well, it's some people in the Middle East believe camel urine can cure certain diseases, especially respiratory illnesses.
Put me down for a gallon.
But my question is, why can't – wait a minute. You're in Iraq, which is right next door, right?
Right.
Y'all don't have any – you don't have any camel yourself? You know, where's your camels?
I don't know how the distribution of camels works there. I don't know if they've got more camels in one place than another. I'm not too hip to that.
Yeah, but I would think, you know, hey, we can get, can't we buy a couple of camels instead of, why buy the camel when the urine is so cheap?
Let's say that's true. Let's say you were going to drink camel urine. For medicinal purposes, obviously, not for pleasure.
Right.
What would be the, like, what do you think would be the best way to ingest it? Like, would you just shoot it straight?
I don't know, but I think I'd want it with my Tito's.
I feel like I'd put it in a margarita.
Crown and camel urine? I don't know. To me, that sounds like a decent drink.
I guess, boy, you're talking about a brown alcohol with a brown mixer. You're going to be feeling like hell.
Well, it's a light brown, though. It's a light brown.
Are you saying the camel urine is reposado?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So.
Yeah. I've got a news of the weird story, maybe.
Okay.
What would you do, John? When's the last time you went into a McDonald's? I know you're not a man of the people, but when's the last time you walked into a McDonald's?
Oh, man, I go every 20 years or so.
Okay.
20 or 30 years.
Let's say you walked into.
They just don't have anything to offer me anymore. But go ahead.
I'm with you. Even my kids won't eat McDonald's. Yeah. They're like, no, we're not eating here. Mm-hmm. But let's say you did walk into a McDonald's, and the employees at the McDonald's said, "Listen, we're closed. We can't have you guys here because of coronavirus. Mm-hmm. You're not wearing masks, so we just can't. We can't serve you inside." What would you do if McDonald's told you that?
I don't know. Open up fire? I don't know. That seems rational.
Well, I'll be damned, John. That's exactly what these guys in Oklahoma City did.
Let's see.
I guess that's a rational reaction. I didn't realize that.
Yes.
My move would have been go to the drive-thru.
Or go to Wendy's.
Yeah. I think Wendy's is having, like, they're getting rid of hamburgers in some parts of the country, which is crazy.
Oh, what?
Yeah. And obviously you're in Oklahoma, so you can't just go to Whataburger. So my move would have been go to the drive-thru. But in Oklahoma City, they shot the employees at McDonald's.
That seems a bit extreme.
Because they were... They really, really wanted
a Big Mac.
A quarter pounder with cheese.
Pounder with cheese. If you can't get your, might as well open up fire.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know why I thought that seemed like a logical, that would be the logical next step. I don't know, because, well, it's news of the weird.
Well, did you also hear about the man in Southern California who went to a grocery store? And he thought that he was following proper protocol by wearing a mask, but his mask was a Ku Klux Klan hood.
Yeah, I saw that.
So he's just strolling through the grocery store and with his hood on.
It seems to me. Now, what state was this in?
That was in California.
Oh,
and he's
California.
Like,
it
no,
seems like
I'm not taking it off. I've got to have this mask on.
No, it seems like the wrong place to me. There are a lot of places where people have been like, what? You know, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia maybe. They'd been like, whatevs. It doesn't seem like – you got to know your audience.
He's also like embarrassing white guy wearing like a camo shirt and cargo shorts and old-looking tennis shoes with, like, calf-high crew socks. It's just – it's not a great look.
Seems to me that's the style, though.
That's an embarrassment
KKK
to white people.
Member.
I think it is. That's the uniform.
Yeah, being embarrassing.
Like, if you want to go, like, nobody wants to go in the full regalia these days because then you'll be recognized and possibly outed.
Right.
But if you just wear the camo and cargo shorts and crew socks with your hood, then maybe there's a question of if you're Klan or if you're just a regular white person.
Well, or if you're fully committed. Okay. Are you really committed to the cause? Right.
Hey, man, I got some beliefs, but I'm not full blown. You don't see a robe here, do you?
Yeah. I don't have my white robe on. Yeah. No. I can see that. A Michigan Capital Commission is seeking legal advice. It appears that they are considering the move to ban guns inside the state capitol building. That seems to me an obvious yes. Right?
You can have guns in the Capitol building here.
You can have guns? Oh, I guess security, right?
I may be wrong.
You can carry an open weapon into the Capitol building?
I don't know. I feel like maybe yes.
I feel like that's a dumb idea. Because it depends. Because it doesn't matter. If I'm Republican, I'm pretty sure a Democrat owns a gun. If I'm a Democrat, I'm pretty sure Republicans own guns.
Well, you're in Texas. You're pretty sure almost everyone owns guns.
That's right. And somebody's not going to like me.
Yeah.
To me, this is a no-brainer. No, we can't bring guns into the Capitol building.
This is something that you and I agree wholeheartedly on.
Right. Have you been dishonoring God?
I've honored God during this time.
Well, not if you wore a mask, because an Ohio lawmaker refuses to wear his mask because he says it dishonors God. Do you think that you've been dishonoring God?
Maybe my connection with God, my relationship with God, isn't the same as that guy in Ohio. But from what I've heard, this is the first I've heard of God having a problem with masks.
Well, but, okay. All right. Have you spoken to God about this lately?
No.
Okay. No. Apparently he has. And he just feels like it's dishonoring God to wear a mask over your face. Apparently they don't feel like that about women who have to wear masks all the time. That's okay. That's just me. I just feel like I'm going to think twice about now wearing a mask.
No, I'm just going to keep wearing a mask.
All right. We're done. It's the Tyler and Charlie show next, right here on ESPN 9. What are we doing here? You explain everything to everybody.
Yeah, it'll be Charlie. He'll do his normal Charlie Polillo show. The new lineup won't really roll out until Monday.
Okay.
It's going to be Joel and Nick from 1 to 4, and then my show 4 to 7. Charlie will be on 11 to 1 today.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, but then on Monday?
Monday, we will. The bench will be 7 to 11. The name of the new show from 11 to 2 is The Press Box with Joel Blank and Charlie Polillo. And then from 2 to 4, we'll have The Will Cain Show, and 4 to 7 will be my show.
There you go. Right here on ESPN 97.5. There you have it from the boss's mouth right here. Have a great day, everybody, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
All right.
ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.